have to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. Welcome to the show. You can get involved by calling 888-777-5373, 888-77-JESSE, JESSE. It's Monday again. Isn't that amazing? I hope you had an amazing weekend. I did. It went by like 90 going north. It went by faster than two hoops and a holler. It was amazing, though. So you can get involved by calling 888-775-3773, 888-77-JESSE. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about doing whatever it is that you're doing and can't really sit and watch the show, you can podcast. You can podcast and or you can be listening while you're doing whatever you're doing. Working out, laying on a beach, on the run, a part of the Democratic government, and you're mad because they just elected two white people to run the DNC again, and you thought it should be you because you were black, and especially if you're female, whatever you're doing, you could be listening to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. That's 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. Amazing, huh? So, it is Monday. And rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Rainy days and Mondays. Except, these rainy days of late is pretty cool. In that, at JLP show, every Monday is not a rainy day and it's not getting me down because every Monday is Female Monday. All my life, I had to fight.
I like to make men uncomfortable. All my life I had to fight.
Let women take over.
Some of us believe that women are getting paid less than men.
I proudly say I'm a feminist. Thank you.
Deep in their soul, they want to be home with those babies. We've been lied to for so long.
Monday, we take all calls, but we take the ladies' calls as they come in on Mondays. Any other day, too, but Mondays are set aside for the ladies. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. Brand new biblical question. But first, we dealt with last week's biblical question on yesterday fellowship, during yesterday fellowship. And if you were not there or didn't get a chance to watch it live, you can podcast yesterday's fellowship by calling, by going to rebuildingtheman.com/church. rebuildingtheman.com/church. We dealt with So, are you a memory worshiper? Last week, biblical question. Are you a memory worshiper? And very interesting feedback yesterday. I have to say that unfortunately, it is real unfortunately, all people are memory worshipers. All people. And then there are those now who have heard about this and they're starting to work on that to overcome memory worshipers. But if you were not a memory worshiper person, you would be free. I feel short. Huh? Oh, it just went up a little bit.
Oh. Thank you.
Did somebody let my chair down? So make sure it's fired over there, too.
Yes, we'll do.
It was too low. Somebody let it down.
Okay, thank you.
What the? But all people, unless you're working on it and you're to overcome. And because you're so identified with thoughts, memories, past, future, it's hard for you to let it go. It's hard for you to stop worshiping thoughts. All thoughts are all lies about anything all the time, right? And it's hard for you to let thoughts go because you're so identified with them. And you believe in them, and you worship them. And someone tell you, hey, stop thinking. You want to live a thoughtless life. You don't want to be thinking, a no-thinking life. It's like asking you to give up a life. And that's exactly what you're doing. When you get to the point where you're living a no-thinking life, you have given up a false life for the real deal. For the real deal. So check it out if you did not hear it yesterday or you were not there. Amazing meeting yesterday, by the way. Really, really amazing. Really amazing. Amazing fellowship. The men's forum is this Thursday night. This is the first Thursday of the month, believe it or not, of February. What of 2025? So, men's forum this Thursday at 7 p.m. if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. Brand new biblical question. Brand new biblical question. And it's a doozy. It is like, I know I've been saying, Mama Mia, Ola, Cece, you know, Galatians for the other one. I can't find the words for this one. I can't find the words to say how amazing this biblical question is. And again, it's only for those people who want to overcome. Know thyself and overcome. It's not for everybody. For those who love your misery, stay right in your hell. Fire with me. Fire with God. Fire with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You can stay right in your hell and nobody's going to cry. Really, stay miserable. Stay lonely. You can stay lost. You can stay sad. You can stay suicidal. You can stay on your suicidal pills. No one cares. But for those who want to overcome, these questions are to help you find your way. All right. Brand new biblical question. Is anger a part of intelligence or stupidity? Is anger a part of intelligence or stupidity? Ooh, what do you say, Nick? Anchor baby. This is Anchor baby first
time. I'm not stupid. So.
Is anger a part of intelligence or stupidity?
My real answer is that it's part of stupidity. But I was playing around saying, I can't be stupid. My ego's telling me I can't be stupid, so my anger can't be stupid.
And so what are you saying it is?
No, it's I think, pretty dumb. And I'm definitely thinking about church's conversation yesterday on some of this a little bit. I feel like you talked about it a little bit. Very fascinating.
So is this a part of?
Stupidity.
Oh, you say to stupidity?
Yeah, there's the
why decisions. Do you say stupidity instead of intelligence?
Well, here's how I'm thinking about it. I've always heard that anger is supposed to be useful in some way. But the things that come from it are just pretty bad.
Amazing. Nice. That's your anchor, baby. The Anchor Baby Show is at 12 noon today, by the way. Check him out. He ain't stupid. He is not an angry man. When hate come in today to do the hate, I mean the super chats, I got to ask him about this female by the name of, I think her name is Krista Noor or something. And she's a part of the, something to do with the illegal alien thing. DSA, DEA or something. And then Duffy. What a mess! I asked Mike to call back apparently on Friday from New Jersey. And Mike is calling back. And I told him as soon as he called back, I would take his call. And Mike from New Jersey. Thanks for calling back, Mike. You're on the air. Hey, Mike. Are you not on one? He's on line four now? Mike.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate your time, man.
Yes, sir.
So I had called last week about asking about my father and forgiving him, and I wanted to make sure that I was doing it properly. Because I never knew the guy. My mother left him when I was a little baby. And when I finally asked her about him, I had found out that he had passed away already. And so, you know, as you say, you know, you really can't get to the Father without forgiving your father.
Right.
And so I want to make sure that, you know, the proper way to do it and understanding how to do it now that I never even knew the guy. I never met the guy. I don't even have a picture of the man. And why, you know, like, so that I can do it properly, because I really, you know, I want to seek, you know, knowing God and you know, having peace in my life, of course.
Well, I want you to realize that your father loved you. And when he left your mother. He did not leave you. Men leave the mothers of the children. They don't leave their children. But the mothers will make the men think, I mean, make the children think that the father left them. because they're not going to admit that, oh, I was too difficult for your father to deal with. And when he left, I kept you away from him. So I want you to realize that he loved you. He just didn't know how to deal with your mother. And just like the mother has the same problem that you're overcoming, the father had them too because he get them from his mother. And so knowing that you can help yourself, it will cause you to realize that your parents could not help themselves, and that will cause you to stop being angry at them. You will forgive them, and your heart will change from anger to love. So your father couldn't help himself. He's dead, so you can't go to him, but just realize he did love you. And whatever happened with your mother, he and your mother, it was between them, and it had nothing to do with you.
Right. I appreciate that.
Why don't you have a picture of him?
Nobody could get one. Nobody has one in my family. I've asked for it, you know, from people. They said that they might have something in a collection. I guess I might be able to get one, but I would have to get in touch with like a half brother, and I don't know if I really want to have a particularly relationship with some of these people, to start beginning, I never had one. I saw the guy when I was like 2 years old. He was coming to visit me where my mother was living with her friend. And so I have a very vague, this was 40 years ago. Memory of him.
Do you know his folks?
No, he was a lot older. He was about 20 years older than my mother.
So you don't know anybody in his family?
One time I met his son from a different wife who was about 20 years older than I was at the time.
Oh, okay.
He still is, I think there are times where he tries to get in touch. He has more of a relationship with my mother. I may have his phone number around somewhere, but again, I don't really want to start a relationship. The first time I met him, he was inviting me to his wedding, and it just seemed like it was too much. I was only in my 20s. It was overwhelming meeting him, and he was wanting me to come to his marriage. And my mother got involved, and she's saying, "Oh, he's getting married again," and starting all the drama with that, and getting into my head, you know. And so it was, mothers just—they're involved in everything, and then they start getting you all wound up. And so, I guess I even have a certain feeling about him in particular as well. His son, sort of, I guess you could say he's my half-brother. I don't know, technically speaking. I don't know what they call it, but...
But you don't have to. Yeah. It's not necessary. You can move on now. You can forgive your mother, forgive your father, and just move on with your life. You don't have to. You don't have to deal with them at all. You can just build your own life.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Because you may make contact with them and regret that you did.
Right, exactly. I don't want to open up a can, of anything.
So just move on with your life and live your life. Are you doing my silent prayer?
Yes, sir.
Well, stay with that. Practice staying present, and you will have an amazing life.
Yes, sir. I look forward to that, and I appreciate everything you have to say. Jesse, is it possible I could answer your new biblical question?
Is anger a part of intelligence or stupidity?
So I've been listening to you for quite some time, and I believe that anger comes from the intelligence, right, from the story of Adam and Eve, right, having the intelligence, or from the intellect, I guess, as they say. Anger comes from that because God didn't create us to have this intellect, right? He created us to be free and to just live and to just do, not to be thinkers. Now, of course, like you said, there's always practical thinking, but the intellect must come, anger must come from the intellect because that builds thinking, builds resentment and fear and other ideas, other thoughts in our heads. So I believe anger comes from the intelligence.
Amazing. Well, I appreciate that, and I'll put my little two cents in on Sunday. Appreciate you responding to it.
Thank you so much for having me, Jesse. You have a blessed day.
You too, buddy. Amazing.
Thank you.
Okay. Amazing. Let me go to Denver and talk to Michaela, a first-time caller out of Denver. Michaela, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. Thank you.
Hey, Michaela.
So my question today is that I think I'm a little bit addicted to politics. And, man, my life is a mess, and I'm trying to get it sorted out. But I'm wondering if it's healthy for me to be researching politics, because I recently, like, I had the veil torn. I was like, oh, wow, there's a lot of lies, and it's a full-time job researching the lies and trying to really come to terms with it.
Why are you so into politics when there's nothing good or true about politics?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm trying to get grounded on. Is there nothing
question.
True?
Why are you so into it?
I think I just, like, I feel hurt.
Hurt? What do you mean?
When it's like I see that my friends are still believing lies. And they're getting, like, really worked up about stuff that's like, no, that's just a lie.
And you're trying to prove to them or show them it's just a lie?
Yeah.
And why?
Because I feel that those lies, like, really harmed me. And I don't want to see anybody else going through it. I also don't want to, like, be living under the lie anymore.
Are you on a speakerphone?
No, sorry. I'll try to talk closer.
Okay. So why are you concerned? If they want to be into it and they love the lies, why do you care about that? Why don't you let them just live the way they want to live and you work on you?
Yeah.
No, that was a question.
No, that sounds like the smart thing to do. It's an addiction. Like, I see something on liberal media and I'm like, is that true? And then I go research it and I'm like, oh, that's, like, really not the full story. And then I find myself getting angry. And then I come back to my senses and I'm like, well, I really do just kind of love everybody, but, like, I don't think, I guess I'm realizing that a lot of what compassionate people do is that they have compassion for everybody.
People don't have compassion for anyone.
Yeah, because it's all mixed up with a little bit of doo-doo. There's, like, little doo-doo footprints all over everything.
So
I guess you need
to walk away from politics. Stop reading it. Stop. If you want to watch some maybe quick new updated news, just watch it. And don't come to any conclusion about it, because you're never going to get the real truth. And so just start working on you, overcoming your fallen state, overcoming your anger, your fears.
Yeah, it's a really personal thing.
And forget about your friends and all them. You can't do anything about anyone else's life. You can't save them, and you can't even save yourself, so you can't save them. You just need to work on you and wish everybody else well, but let them stay in their misery. Leave them in their hell. You're not responsible for anyone but you.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you. I needed somebody to tell me that.
You definitely need to pull away from it. It's doing you no good.
Yeah. I was wondering. I didn't know if it was an addiction or if I was, like, uncovering something that I needed to know.
No,
but it's endless. It's endless.
You're not uncovering anything that you need to know about politics. Just know the people in politics are evil, and they only love power and wealth. They care nothing about you. They just want to stay in there to get what they can get. It's not about you.
Cool, fair.
Have you forgiven your mother?
Oh, man, I've tried, but sometimes I still get angry.
And when you say you've tried, what, explain.
So I don't talk to her. But like the rare interactions we have, it's just like pure criticism. And I'm like, well, you kind of set me up for failure.
Yeah.
So like fair, I did fail, but like just part of the problem is that you're criticizing me all the time instead of like helping me figure out what needs to happen next.
Have you forgiven her yet?
The forgiveness comes and goes. Yeah.
Have you forgiven your mother?
Yeah, I guess the answer is not all the way no.
Have you forgiven your mother?
Yes, I love my mother. Oh my gosh, like I love her from the bottom of my heart, and I know that she's doing the best she can with what she has.
Have you gone to your mother and forgiven her for what she's done to you?
Yes, I have had that conversation.
Did you tell her you were sorry for, resented her for screwing up your life?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
What did you say to her?
I mean, I've pointed out, I'm like, do you see how you kind of put me between a rock and a hard place and this thing, and she gets confused and she doesn't understand.
She does understand. She's lying to you. She knows exactly what you're talking about. She just doesn't want to admit you're wrong. But you have not forgiven your mother. You got to go to her. Mother, I'm sorry for resenting you for screwing up my life. I realize now you can't help it. And God will forgive you. Don't ask for forgiveness. You forgive her. God will forgive you and be done with her. Just don't be angry at her, but be done with her. Move on with your life.
Okay, will do.
And how about your father? Have you forgiven him?
No.
And why not?
There are just like inappropriate things that he said to me at like really bad times. And I'm like, what's wrong with you?
I want you to ask your father, why didn't he protect you from your mother?
And then forgive him
and move on with your life. You cannot and will not move on until you forgive your mother and your father. And
okay.
Instead of being into watching politics all the time, you need to start watching what's happening in you so you can overcome all that.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I do forgive my father.
Did you tell him?
No, I just try not to talk to him because I don't need to open any wounds.
Well, the only way you got to talk to him to forgive him.
Yeah.
You want to shake in your boots and let yourself shake in your boots, but forgive your father. Face him and forgive him and move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Are you doing the silent prayer?
Yeah.
You doing my silent prayer?
Yeah, well, I do a baby version. I get distracted.
Because you're in your head.
Yeah.
So I want to forget about politics, Michaela, and start working on you. Forgive your parents, do the silent prayer, practice staying present, and everything would naturally work out. Can you hold on for me for what? I have one quick question.
Yep.
Hold on for me, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
888-775-3773. Back in a moment. You can't run from evil within yourself or outside of self. You got to deal with it. And you need good in order to deal with evil. And God is good. You need to return to the Father. And you'll see within you, he will fight the battle for you. And he will fight it without. because he will show you how to deal with it, and you will have no fear. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, along with nothing else. Nothing else means yourself, your children, your wife, your things, your ego, your reputation, and all that. You can't care about any of that. The children of anger will use it to control you. But if you love God, he will renew your mind, and none of those things will be before him. And so when they go after you, oh, well, you may take my body, you may take my things, but you're not going to take my soul. And that's a true reality. Okay, welcome back. I want to remind you that for my listeners, GoldCo and I have a special promo for my listeners, Jesse Lee Peterson Show. Qualified customers receive an instant match in bonus and silver. An instant match in bonus and silver. And for those who might not know, GoldCo was awarded the number one for 2024 best customer service, 2023 best educational resource. And so it was rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. So check them out for yourself. Get educated and invest in gold. All right, invest in gold. Again, GoldCo and I have special a promo for my listeners. Qualified accounts receive a 10% instant match and bonus silver. So learn more about them. Get educated. Go to jessielovesgold.com. jessielovesgold.com or call 855-644-GOLD. 855-644-GOLD. Tell them Jesse sent you. Oh, amazing. I do appreciate it. GoldCo. Check them out. All right. Amazing. So I want to go quickly back to Michaela out of Denver. And Michaela is going to stop being so into politics and watching it and try to prove anything. Because politics, the game of politics is evil. It's prideful. It's selfish. Michaela, did you say that because of your mother, you failed in life?
Yes.
And what do you mean by that?
I feel that she had, way too high of expectations for me. And I just had such low self-esteem by the time I graduated from college. I had, a degree in engineering, but I felt like a piece of shit. Sorry.
How does shit feel?
It did not feel good, and it led me into really toxic paths. It led me to more shipwrecks.
And how old are you?
36.
Oh, okay. There is no such thing as failure in life. That doesn't exist. It's not real. What you were feeling is anger toward your mother, and it sounded like your father. And in that anger, you were lost in your imagination and thoughts. And in those thoughts, all those different feelings came, because you can't have those feelings unless you have thoughts. And so the feelings were telling you, you're a loser, you're like shit, you're no good, and you're believing a lie, which was never true. There is no such thing as failure or success in life.
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
I believe that, yeah.
And so those...
there's no way I could have done better if I had known better.
And I want you to, right, and I want to encourage you to stop and never, ever, ever, never, ever do it again. Try to live up to anything or anyone. You just live your life. You live your life. You go to work, save your money, and do your thing. And don't compare yourself to anyone. And don't try to live up to anyone, because human beings are evil. And they will, when they discover that you're trying to live up to their standard, which are no good anyway, they're going to destroy you. So don't try to live up to anyone's standard. And the people, the people's standards that you're trying to live up to, your mother, your father, your so-called friends, your educated friends, they've never lived up to the standards that they are requiring of you. You can't live up to a standard. Don't try to, do not try to live up to a standard.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head right there. That's exactly what I'm doing with my politics addiction, is I'm trying to, like, help people see the truth. And all I'm finding is, like, oh wow, we're all, like, quite sinful and just very blind to it.
Absolutely.
And I can't, there's no way I'm ever going to prove that to people.
And don't try. Don't ever, ever, ever give one thought about other people.
Yeah.
Don't even think about it. You just live your life. Don't try to be like anyone. Don't try to save anyone. Don't try to help anyone. You are only responsible for you, and those people are responsible for them. And the people that you try to help, which you can't anyway, they will destroy you because they're wicked. Human beings are evil. They have no love.
Yeah.
So forget about trying to live up to a standard and just simply live your life.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Let me know how it goes.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Jesse.
You're welcome. Amazing. 888-777-5377.
888-77-JESSE. Super chat. Over on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, someone says, I have a sculpture I'll send in the next coffee. It's kind of long. I think he means scripture, or she. What you say is true. Be the sheep and let God take over. There's nothing to identify with, because in reality, we're nothing.
Amazing.
You don't have to think or do anything.
Thank you. Amazing.
Thank you, someone.
Yeah.
Someone bought another coffee. Psalm 23:1-6. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. And
thank
on
you.
And on it goes.
Oh, man, keep it piffing. You can't do the whole Lord is my shepherd thing. What the? Keep it piffing, but thank you.
Indeed. Thank you so much. Jesus, appreciate it for church. Thank you.
Thank you.
Over on Cash
Fellowship
App.
Was amazing yesterday.
Nice.
And every Sunday, really. Okay.
Deplorable Dave from Rosamond bought a coffee. Jesse, I want to ask.
Ask!
When you say the human heart is wicked and all human beings are evil, does that also include Jesse Lee Peterson himself?
Is all. I say all. Every human being must be born again if they want to be free. Oh, thank you.
He's drunk as a bastard. What the? Smiley face emoji.
He's drunk as a bastard. Thank you.
It's Badger.
What?
Badger.
Oh.
Jesse bought a car.
Where you get bastard from there?
You said that.
What?
I was just reading the chat.
Oh. Amazing. Facts versus truth. You read the chat or you say bastard?
Yep. Terrible. Jesse is now a member, monthly supporter on the buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk.
Thank you. Make Jesse?
Yeah.
Right on.
Jesse A. Make America great again. The great white hope.
The great white hope. Let me see what he has to say.
Nice idea.
The great white hope.
I don't frankly have time for total political correctness. And this country doesn't have time either.
Amen. What? Nah. Thank you.
Five coffees from Jesse. Love everyone at Bond, the Great White Hope. Shout out to Jesse Haig, Joel Friday, and the American Anchor Baby, Bill and Derek, with five more coffees.
Thank you, Jesse, and shout out to you from all of us.
Very generous.
Appreciate you, yeah.
T-Fly Monkey asks.
Ask!
Over on the Rumble chat.
You got to know how to rumble, oh yeah.
Regarding the Fallen State episode with that Adam Friedland guy.
Yes.
Anyone talk about how Adam sandbagged Jesse on the Fallen State? Dude wouldn't be quiet.
Amazing. Thank you.
Sims Winner asks over on
Ask.
On Kick. Jesse Lee Peterson on Kick.
Kick.
Am I being controlling or playing God by wanting to introduce my daughter to this Sunday service? Or should I just let her find the truth on her own? Amazing.
How old is she?
Don't know.
Oh. You can tell her about it, but don't force it. You can definitely introduce it, but don't force it. Thank you.
Julie from Connecticut, Eric's wife. Hi, Jesse and Hake. Biblical question answer from last week.
Are you a memory worshiper?
I am a memory worshiper because I will repeat conversations I've had with people in the past over and over in my mind and figure out new ways to hate them.
What a mess.
Terrible.
Thank you. And we responded to that last Sunday. So you can check it out, rebuildingtheman.com/church.
Julia also bought our coffee saying, Jesse, you wear the nicest clothes. I loved your brown jacket during Bond yesterday.
Thank you. He black.
Indeed.
Thank you.
B. Hart, now a monthly supporter on Buy Me a Coffee, all the way from England. I appreciate the wisdom, Jesse and crew. Thank you. I forgave my mum and met the devil himself shortly afterwards.
Yep.
I do struggle with the silent prayer, but staying with it, getting closer to God. Thank you again. Wish you all well. God bless.
Thank you. Appreciate you, and thank you for your support.
T. Smith on Cash App says, coffee.
Amazing. Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Yeah.
Kinzer over on IG. We streamed live on IG for church.
Amazing.
Love from Kansas City, Missouri, brother. Do a VIP show where we can meet and greet, he suggests.
That's in the making. Absolutely. Thank you.
Five coffees from Soul Conscious. Jesse, Sunday's church is the highlight of the week. Thank you.
It's like the dessert is so good. Amazing. Thank you.
Goldmine Arcade says, Jesse, are you going to put any more White History Month coffee mugs in the store? Mine broke, and I can't find another one anywhere.
Yes, we will. White History, for those who don't know, is July. Every July is White History Month. July just feels white. Yeah, we'll put some more up there.
Pastor Chatelet gave a Rumble rant.
Thank you.
Y'all seeing that TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, female bishops ministry was, according to him, getting $53 million for immigrant resettlement? Trump going to shut that bishop. That woman who said, have mercy on the illegals.
She got what?
According to him, $53 million for immigrant resettlement. I haven't checked his facts, but.
Amazing. I'm not aware of that. What a mess if it's true. Thank you.
Age of Inversion, now a monthly supporter on the Rumble crew. Thank you, sir.
Amazing. Thank you.
Chris bought a coffee. Biblical question.
Is anger a part of intelligence or stupidity?
Anger is definitely from stupidity. After I get angry and think about my reaction, I feel so stupid and embarrassed.
What a mess. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. Thank you.
And thank you, guys. I do believe that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you. So before you leave, Hake, and I get back to the calls here, Christy Noah or Noah?
Noam.
What?
Noam.
So she,
N-O-E-M.
She just got a position as D-E what?
D-E-I?
Is it D-E-I?
D-H-S. Homeland Security Secretary, I believe. Christy Noam. Eighth Secretary of Homeland Security of the United States.
To see her in that position and standing around all these men, she's in the middle, dressed like she's a man, trying to pretend like she's a man. dressing men clothes, to see her in that position and all the other agents standing around her is probably one of the saddest things I ever seen. It doesn't fit. She needs to quit. These men should not be in that type of position and have a female over them and like that. It's not real. She's faking leadership.
Yeah.
It's not even real, and it made the men look weak. I saw her stand up there with some jeans on and a police jacket, DEI jacket or whatever. And all the men around, I'm like, this is the highest thrill she ever had.
She was governess of South Dakota, I believe.
Well, they need to put her back over there. I hide her away because I don't know who she is. I never heard of her. That's how far as I remember.
Yeah, I remember she spoke at that place in front of Mount Rushmore where Trump spoke in his first term, towards the end of his first term, and he talked about making new monuments for the whites. And she was giving some speech, and the people in the chat were like, oh, make her, she should run for vice president or something like that.
Just because she gave a stupid speech?
Yeah.
They need, I disagree. How did she get in there? They put her there because she made a speech?
I think that Trump put her there.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with him. I was disagreeing with the great White Hope on this. It doesn't look good for the men to have a female over them like that. It made them look weak. And it don't fit. It's like having a drag queen in charge of the military.
Yeah. No, she has, and on top of it, she has this like tiny, pretty, a lot of makeup wearing person. Wearing a cowboy hat when I saw her. I think she was wearing a cowboy hat. And then just trying to play like she's this tough person.
It looked like she's playing in a movie or something. And it's not real.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's sad to see that. I can't even watch it. It just, they got this female in charge of these men. And what is it? That she does?
Homeland Security Secretary.
So H what?
DHS.
DH.
Department of Homeland Security.
I told it. The president should not have done that, in my opinion.
Well, the government has made all these new departments. This department has only been around since, like, after 9/11. I think W made this new department.
This DHS thing?
I think so.
Well, that's not a reason to get rid of it.
Not a reason to put her in there.
They couldn't find a man to put there? Even if it's a weak man, it's better to have this crystal null thing.
Yeah.
It ain't right. America would never be normal again as long as you're putting these women over men like this. And the poor men, they look like little boys around her. They're never going to correct her.
I know, huh?
And she's going to push them around.
And yet she has, like, no real authority.
Right. Meaning what?
Like, she doesn't, she's, like, playing tough.
Right. It's not even real. It looked like she's an actress and she's playing a role.
Yeah.
Like she thinks she's in a movie. It's horrible. It's really horrible. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. All right. And then I found out that this guy Duffy.
Sean Duffy.
Is Duffy the same guy that quit being according to reports, quit being a congressman. He resigned from that to stay home and raise his children while his wife be a TV talk show?
Yeah. Sean Duffy. Well, according to the story that you told, yes, that's the same guy.
What the?
He's Rachel Campos' husband.
This is a guy that quit his job as a congressman, according to the report. I don't know, because we never know what the real truth is. And he stayed home, according to the report, to raise the children, and he let his wife go on TV and fulfill her ego.
9 kids.
So now he's over what?
He's the new Pete Buttigieg. He's Secretary of Transportation.
Really? They might as well have left Pete Buttcheek there.
Terrible.
What's going on?
Well, these people have been in the spotlight. And so, I don't know, Trump picked them. Because Trump named these guys, or his administration did anyway.
So was Trump told to pick these people, or did he do it on his own?
That I don't know. I'm not privy.
This man wasn't even able to make his wife stay home and raise 9 children. He stayed home and raised them, according to the report. It may be wrong, but it looked like it. How he gonna run a what? Transportation?
Yeah, the Department of Transportation.
And his wife doesn't even obey him. So here's what I recommend, folks. Though we have the great white hope in the office, you still got to work on overcoming the world. Because these weak people are not going to make things better for your life. You may have a safer country. You may have more jobs. But you're still going to be miserable. They put these weak people in charge. I don't care if they're Republican or conservative. It's not going to work. A man that can't make his wife stay home and raise 9 children, how are you going to make a transportation thing happen? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Did you know all this?
Yeah, I kind of knew that. I was like, oh, I heard the Sean Duffy's voice on the radio when they were talking about, because, you know, there's been some transportation disasters recently.
You say that again.
And
there was another one on Sunday near me. It was a plane caught on fire. According to a report, we have that for you.
There was one on Friday that I hadn't even heard about till Sunday morning.
I know. It's falling down. I mean, these disasters happen so fast, you can't keep up with them.
Makes my head swim or spin.
Made your head swim.
I mean, I was glad not to be hearing Pete Buttigieg's voice, to be honest. But I'm like, oh, that Sean Duffy. Oh, man.
That ain't no better.
Yeah, it's really not.
Anyway.
There's a lot of, like, trendy MAGA people who are not right. And they seem like they're part of that.
I don't think Trump would have chosen Kristi Noem just on himself if he had it was on him to make that decision.
I don't know. She's a proven governess.
But she did that. You said she made a speech.
Right. She made a speech. Well, I just remember that's when she came into my consciousness. That's when I became aware of her.
Well, how did
you? I'm not telling you, like, her whole, that's not her whole resume. But Trump has always been putting women in charge of different things.
She should be in charge. If you want to be a part of the administration, she could work for Trump down at Mar-a-Lago, making dinner and stuff.
She could go get his...
Be in charge of the women that are cooking for the guests.
That's a good idea. Get his Diet Cokes.
Right. Back in a moment, when I come back, your phone calls and super chat and some news items. Hate news, not the fake news, is coming up. I'll be back in a moment. 2 more hours to go.
I just want to say thank you for everything that you do. You've absolutely changed my life for the positive, and I just want to thank you. I was 29-year-old beta, living at home with my mom, and just was living in fear and doubt, and I couldn't hold down a job. And then I found you, and I started listening. I started just being more at peace, and I forgave my mom, and I forgave my father. And it's like right after that, everything just changed in my life, and I was able to get a good job, and I moved out, and I live on my own now, and everything has just changed. And I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate you for spreading that message. It really is a positive message.
Amazing. That's good, man. I want people to know God loves us in ways that there are no words to express, because you have nothing to compare it to, right? Stay with the silent prayer. You haven't seen anything yet. It gets better.
Don't be scared of flying. That's what Commie Nonsense Network, CNN, wants to tell you. That's their message for you. Despite the three accidents that have happened in recent few days and Trump tariffs, Trump's tariff versus anti-Trump propaganda. They're going hard. Global Homo Market Drama, Commie Nonsense Network, and many others. And there and a little update on that D.C. air disaster. It's a big mess. There's a whole lot of mess going on in the world. This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, Female Monday. February 3rd. Groundhog Day was yesterday. I heard there's like supposed to be maybe six more weeks of winter, they say, according to Pontachatzi. I don't know how to say that guy's name. The groundhog guy. This is the end of hour one. JLP will be right back to your calls. There is one line open. You can call in right now during Hate News, Not Fake News. And JLP will be right back to your calls and more. More than 25 million so-called Americans, according to Commie Nonsense Network, CNN, have a fear of flying. Wow, they better get on Anchor Baby Airlines and overcome that fear. Also known as aerophobia, A-E-R-O, phobia, or aviophobia, A-V-I-O, phobia. This type of anxiety may be all too real right now. Don't let it overwhelm you or inhibit your travel plans, says Commie Nonsense Network. And they have tips for nervous flyers, but you probably have to, like, pay for it, so skip it. Tariffs. President Donald J. Trump has fulfilled his promise to impose steep tariffs on America's three largest trading partners, Canada, China, and Mexico, citing a national emergency regarding the flow of fentanyl and illegal aliens into the United States. The action is expected to take effect Tuesday, yes, tomorrow. Includes a 25% duty on all imports from Mexico and most goods from Canada, and an additional 10% tariff on Chinese so-called goods. The leaders of all three countries quickly announced they would take retaliatory measures, so-called leaders, right? On Sunday, Trump acknowledged that what economists and some members of Congress have been saying all along, Americans may find themselves paying the costs. Analysts have warned that such tariffs could increase the price of gasoline, groceries, automobiles, toys, clothing, lumber, beer, like as if you need it, and other goods. Global homo markets are tumbling amid fears that our greatest president, Donald J. Trump's tariffs will start a full-blown trade war. U.S. stock market futures plunged on Sunday with the Dow, whoever knows or cares about this mess, falling 1.4%. Over 600 points. The S&P 500 futures, whatever that means. I bet you they don't even know what it means. Dropped 1.9%. You know, commie nonsense. While the tech-heavy NASDAQ was down 2.4%. Bitcoin also went down 3.5% over the last 24 hours. Got to correct the market. That's what's happening, baby. The sell-off on the futures market implies that the indexes will also open lower, blah, 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 blah. Similarly, Asian markets declined on the tariff news. Japan's Nikkei and South Korea's Kospi both closed lower by more than 2%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng was flat. China's Shanghai index was closed for the Lunar New Year, Chinese New Year, that is, holiday, holy day, 15 days of Chinese New Year. Happy Chinese New Year. Recovery crews in Washington, D.C., will resume their search today for the remains of the dozen people presumed killed in last week's fatal mid-air collision. The dozen left who were not found yet, whose bodies anyway. Officials said that dive teams have recovered 55 of the 67 crash victims from the debris in the Potomac River. Officials said the mangled wreckage of the American Airlines jet has made the recovery effort especially difficult for dive teams. They've been struggling and it's cold and all. It's a big mess. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP. Hour two.
¶¶
to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth, instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show today. You can get involved by calling 888-77-5-3-773-888-77-JESSE. Jesse. And my biblical question, brand new biblical question, and it's a doozy, and it's brand new, and you're going to love it, especially those who are working on themselves. Is anger a part of intelligence or stupidity? Is anger part of intelligence or stupidity? Wow. Ooh, that's a shaker up question. You can listen to the show no matter where you are and what you're doing. Following Kristen Noor while she pretends a leader, and you follow her and you're a man. What the? You can be listening to the show in your misery, because I know you're misery. Miserable having to follow a woman as your leader. What the? You can be listening to the show on your iPhone, iPad. You can podcast, but you can be listening on your iPhone, iPad by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Monday. It's the second hour of Monday already. And every Monday, though we take all calls, every Monday is Female Monday. All my life, I had to fight.
I like to make men uncomfortable.
All my life I had to fight.
Let women take over.
Some of us believe that women are getting paid less than men.
I proudly say I'm a feminist. Thank you.
Deep in their soul, they want to be home with those babies. We've been lied to for so long.
That's right. Amazing. 888-775-3773. Some of you may be aware of the situation with the airplanes of late, and it's been a mess. NBC 10 is reporting that a medical transportation flight. First of all, there was one that happened in Washington, D.C. before this one. All right. This happened on Thursday, I believe, of last week. I may be wrong, Wednesday or Thursday of last week. There was a passenger plane and a helicopter that collided, according to a report. And I believe 60 people on the passenger flight and 3 or 4 on the helicopter. And so far, they have not found any survivor that I'm aware of. And that happened at the Ronald Reagan Airport there in Washington, D.C. on Thursday. Wednesday night, I'm told. Isn't that amazing? And then on Friday night, Well, Friday, there was another airplane crash on Friday night in Philadelphia. So we had one Wednesday night, and this is all in 1 week, not 2 weeks ago, not 2 or 3 weeks apart, but in the same week. NBC 10, a medical transport jet carrying a child patient and the mother and four other crashed into a northeast Philadelphia neighborhood about 30 seconds after takeoff on Friday. Watch this from NBC 10.
The NTSB released this video today as they scoured the crater created by the medical jet on impact in northeast Philadelphia Friday evening. In that hole, investigators found the black box in decent condition about 8 feet below ground. We also learned more about the four crew members who tragically lost their lives. Jet Rescue Air Ambulance identified them as Captain Alon Montoya, co-pilot Josue Juarez, paramedic Rodrigo Padilla, and Dr. Raul Mesa. The patient, 11-year-old Valentina Guzman Murillo, and her mother, Lizeth Murillo Osuna, also passed away.
Our city continues to mourn their loss, and they are in our thoughts and prayers.
The NTSB says Learjet 55 was traveling to Missouri before heading to Mexico when it crashed less than a minute after takeoff, causing a massive explosion. Mayor Sherelle Parker says one person in a vehicle also died, and the number of those injured is now 22. At least 11 residential properties are impacted.
They have a lot of processing yet to do of the scene. In fact, as you heard, we have not yet recovered everything we need to recover from the scene.
Amazing, huh? So that was on Friday. And then, lo and behold, I just found out this morning from by way of my producer, Derek had this in the package for me. I didn't hear about this at all until this morning. According to Fox 26, a United flight from Houston to New York caught fire during takeoff on Saturday morning, on Sunday morning. Watch this from Fox 26. Isn't that amazing? Sunday morning, a United flight on fire. It leads me to wonder what's going on. It's abnormal for this to be happening in our country, in my country. What's going on? Is it intentional? And I'm asking questions. I have no idea what's going on. All right, zero. But it's strange that all of a sudden this is happening. And when it rarely that it happens in America. It's not something that happens often at all. And all of a sudden, it's happening all over the place. It really makes you want to think twice before you fly now, at least for now. Did my seat go down there? Huh? No?
I don't think so.
Okay. What's going on? I hope the president gets to the bottom of this, and then they let us know what's really going on so we would know. You can't be taking a risk in the air like that. I thought it was a horrible mistake a couple years ago when they decided to put blacks in the and then control tower and let them fly planes, and they weren't qualified. They got rid of the qualified white men and put in non-qualified black females and some males. And the control, I'm like, You're putting our lives at risk in the sky just to prove something? I want my country back. I want my country back. My producer said driving 1,500 miles doesn't sound too bad now. It doesn't. Really. I mean, not knowing exactly what's going on, you have to think twice about flying now. But now, because you don't know if this is intentional, is it being set up on the grounds, or once you get on the plane, the pilot or somebody, you just don't know. Because it's so screwed up before Donald Trump got in there, you just don't know. And before I go to the phone, I wanted to know your thoughts on this interview from 1967 with Martin Luther King Jr. What do you think about this? What are your thoughts on this? Really, I want to hear from you about it and whatever else. You remember Martin Luther King? He was the one that started that mess called the so-called Civil Rights Movement. No such thing as civil rights, by the way. And it was the worst thing that ever happened to the blacks other than the abortion. The Civil Rights Movement was the worst thing. Abortion was the second thing, the worst thing. But I want to hear your feedback on this interview with Martin Luther King Jr., where he explained why black Americans face more obstacles than immigrants. Watch this from NBC News.
What is it about the Negro? I mean, every other group that came as an immigrant somehow, not easily, but somehow got around it. Is it just the fact that Negroes are black?
White America must see that no other ethnic group has been a slave on American soil. That is one thing that other immigrant groups haven't had to face. The other thing is that the color became a stigma. American society made the Negro's color a stigma. America freed the slaves in 1863 through the Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln, but gave the slaves no land or nothing in reality, and as a matter of fact, to get started on. At the same time, America was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that there was a willingness to give the white peasants from Europe an economic base. And yet it refused to give its black peasants from Africa, who came here involuntarily in chains and had worked free for 244 years, any kind of economic base. And so emancipation for the Negro was really freedom to hunger. It was freedom to the winds and rains of heaven. It was freedom without food to eat or land to cultivate, and therefore it was freedom and famine at the same time.
That was Martin Luther King. You still think he's a hero? He's a zero. Not a hero, but a zero. Isn't that amazing? When I first heard of him, I didn't realize that he was a socialist. Martin Luther King says it's cruel just to say to a bootless man, pick yourself up by your bootstrap. This is from NBC News.
And when white Americans tell the Negro to lift himself by his own bootstraps, they don't look over the legacy of slavery and segregation. I believe we ought to do all we can and seek to lift ourselves by our own bootstraps. But it's a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And many Negroes, by the thousands and millions, have been left bootless as a result of all of these years of oppression and as a result of a society that deliberately made his color a stigma and something worthless and degrading.
What a shame, huh? That reporter should ask Martin, well, Martin Luther King, you look well-dressed. You sound educated. How did you make it? And why don't you tell the blacks that rather than trying to make victims out of them? And Martin Luther King, if what you're saying is true, why so many black people buy land, they're getting educated, whatever educate means to them, education means to them, and they're doing fine, Martin Luther King? How are those people able to do it? They pull themselves up by the bootstrap. Why other blacks can't do the same thing? Martin Luther King Jr. And Martin Luther King Jr., why aren't you telling the people that the blacks were brought here by Arabs and not by white people? Martin Luther King Jr. And Martin Luther King, why don't you tell the blacks, the other black people that own businesses and doing very well in the country? Why are you trying to make victim out of them and you're trying to be their leader? How did you make it? How did you pull your bootstrap up? But the reporter didn't ask him that. They didn't ask him that at all. And they allow him to deceive many blacks that they could not make it because of the white man. And today, black men and black women are blaming white people in 2025. They're still begging and blaming at DEI. Look at, I'm wondering about the plane situation. Is it DEI? Thank you, Martin Luther King, for creating nothing but a bunch of victims. And now America suffers for it because the white man is too afraid to say no to these people. What a socialist. Martin Luther King was a socialist, and he created socialist mentality, black folks in America. And they will not let it go because now they are seduced by free stuff. You don't have to earn your way if you're black. We got a black female on the U.S. Supreme Court, and she doesn't even know what a woman is. There was a so-called black female vice president who was only there because of color. Dumb as a doorknob, but she was a black female. Thank you, Martin Luther King. You did a fine job before you left this earth. You looked over the mountaintop. You went up there on top of that hill, and you looked over the mountaintop. Now I wonder, what did you see? Because you sure didn't see the glory of the coming of the Lord. You saw Satan coming. What a mess. What do you think about his speech? That was from 1967. Amazing. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Japan and talk to the first time caller, Hunter. Hunter, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hey, Hunter.
How's it going, Jesse?
All is well.
That's great to hear. Hey, Jesse, I'm not going to lie, the talk about the airplanes has gotten me a little frightened. I'm coming back to America. I'm American myself. Come back to America in about a week.
Oh, glory.
And I don't know what to think.
Yeah. I know, man. I have some...
crossing my fingers, clasping my hands.
I have some traveling to do by plane coming up this month. And I'm concerned now because you just don't know what's really going on. You know, these planes being set up to fall while on the ground? Are the engineers or somebody said it? You just don't know now.
I'm gonna look Amish, praying the way I'm gonna be praying on those planes, which leads me into my question for you.
Okay,
I had a question because I see you as a very devout man, and I'm a young man trying to find my way towards spirituality, but I got one thing that's holding me up, and I figured that you're the man who can answer this question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I want to find God.
Come back to your phone.
The one thing that's holding me up is,
hey, Hunter, let's
I'm sorry.
Yeah, let's find your phone first.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The Wi-Fi here in Japan isn't the best. I'm on a mountain.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, you know, I want to find spirituality. I want to find God, but the one thing that keeps me is I've spent so much time being afraid of belief structures, but I want to believe in God without being afraid of the alternative of not believing, if that makes sense. I want to believe in God without being afraid of hell. And I want to know if there's a way you've thought of that can do that.
You want to believe in God without being afraid of hell?
Basically, yeah. There's I want to believe in God by my own volition. I believe in sacredness. I believe in beauty, and I believe that comes from faithful men. But I guess, and it's an old fear, and that's kind of why I want help dispelling it. And I want to believe that there is a way to find the love of God without being afraid of hell, you know? Because I feel like being afraid of hell is weakness.
It is.
I think God is strength.
And if you have not returned to God, you're already in hell. Do you know that?
I guess not.
Yeah. Anyone that has not, that have not returned to the Father, you're already living in hell. You're living in doubt. You're living in fear. You're living in loneliness, suicidal thought, depression, looking for love, wanting to love, thinking you can help someone, thinking you know right from wrong. You're already in hell. So you already know what hell is like. You're in hell already, all right? And the way you find God is stop thinking about him or looking for him, and you shall know him. You have to give up all of your thinking and ideas about God. And when all that disappears, you will be one with God.
Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to process this. Yeah, so it's not about thinking about God as like a result. It's about thinking about God as like almost as if like a force of nature, like it was always there, which I mean, I guess that's what scripture says in the first place.
Yeah. Don't think about God at all, because when you think about God, you're one with evil. There is no thinking about God. People who think about God would never know God. They just have a false idea about God. And then they'll go around preaching about God, teaching about God, your family, your parents, and everybody. But all they'll just teach about an idea. They don't know God themselves. You cannot know God by thinking about him. You cannot know God by holding on to ideas about him. You can't know God. So if you want to know God, drop all your ideas.
I understand.
What do you understand about that?
I understand in the sense that, like, if I do drop all these ideas, I accept God as something that was there in the beginning. But there's no real, like, there's no discernment to be had about it. It's something that's existed before the concept of thinking. But what I want to ask is doubting God same thing as thinking about God?
Well, you're really not doubting God. You're believing a lie from hell. There's no such thing as doubting God. You can't doubt God and you don't even know God.
Mm. Okay.
You just have an idea based on everything you've been taught that you're doubting God. But you're not doubting God. You don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
You're doubting an idea about what you think you know about God. You got to come out of your imagination, and you will know God. You got to lay down all your morals and values and trying to live up to this and that and trying to be anything. You got to give it all up and you will know God. But you got to give up your ideas. This idea, when you say you're afraid of finding God, who are you talking about?
I guess I'm afraid of the you know, growing up, I've met people that use God as a way for escaping what scares them.
Yep.
And I want to find God as a means of strength. I want to find God not as a means of running away from what keeps me from being the best I can be. I want to find God as a means of proving myself as being the best I can be. I want to find God as a means of having strength within my soul, you know?
And who when you say you want to, who are you talking about?
I guess I don't know. I've been to churches throughout my life.
No,
and,
but when you say I want to find God, I want to this and that, who are you referring to?
Sorry, I'm thinking about it for a second. I want to give you a straight answer. I know you don't like people who tell you where they've been.
Ask me where you're going. Yeah. You tell me where you've been.
Yeah. I want to tell you where I'm going.
Who are you referring to when you say I want to know God? Who are you talking about?
My mom.
Who?
My mom has been my mom. Oh, my mom has been saying.
You talking
been,
about
my mom
your,
found faith.
You talk about your mother and not you.
I guess so. Yeah, my mother has found faith, and it's been making me ask a lot of questions to myself about what faith is, and in her explanation of it, I found a lot more beauty in it than I thought in the past.
What do you mean your mother found faith?
Well, I grew up in sort of an agnostic household, but in the last couple of years, especially during COVID, my mom found Jesus. She's been reading the Bible.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
And on God. And, you know, it's like she's been telling me, Hunter, I hope you find God at some point in your life. And I've been asking myself, how would I go about doing that? And, you know, living in this world where, you know, it feels like there's a lot of, living in this world where it feels like God is made out to be the enemy.
Your mother has not found God.
No. She's not the one saying that God is the enemy.
But no, I said your mother have not found God. When she told you, when she said to you, she was telling you she has not found God. She found an idea about God because she read the Bible. That's not a sign of finding God.
Okay.
But I want to go back to you. When you say you want to know God, who are you referring to? Who are you talking about? Want to know God?
I suppose the progenitor of beauty.
Are you talking about you?
No, I'm talking about God.
So when you say you want to find God, you weren't talking about you? You were not referring to you?
Yeah. Should I be?
Were you?
No, I guess not.
So you were not saying that you wanted to find God. You were saying beauty wanted to find God?
I think what I've been trying to say is that in my last couple 2 years, I've come to understand that
hold on,
a
buddy.
Lot of what...
Hold on, let me take a quick break.
Sure,
don't
yeah.
hang up, Hunter. Don't hang up. A quick break. Back in a moment.
You know, I'm 32 years old now, and I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old.
And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show. And I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this. And young men need to know this message that you're delivering because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like a thousand. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning. The Hake, HAKEReport.com, from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And James Hake is on fire. The guy with the good hair. And after The Hake Report, Joel Friday TV, he black. He black. Amazing. Joel Friday TV on fire. And then you think that's something. And we'll talk about flight falling from the sky, planes falling from the sky. You can depend on the American anchor baby. He never fall from the sky. He may get sick once in a while. He may cough. But he's not going to fall from the sky. He's not going to crash. Matter of fact, the American anchor baby has not crashed in a month. What the? A whole month. Can you imagine that? At 12 noon, the American anchor baby. And if you're not satisfied, we have more for you. Punch and TV. A brand new episode of Punchy TV at 2 p.m. Pacific time on YouTube and Punchy TV. Watch this.
Does she look better with or without makeup?
My girl, let me sign with him.
Be careful, Nick.
Yeah. You like the makeup and the fake boobs, fake butt. You like the plastic surgery.
Enhancements are cool.
See?
As long as they're not overdone.
Why do you have to get an enhancement? It's like you're lazy.
They make a woman more attractive.
Would you pick a 9 enhanced or a 7.5 natural?
What does that mean?
Because you want to have sex with her.
Thanks, Nick.
Just there was some confusion I had to clear.
What? Amazing. It's not for kids. It is not for kids. At 2 p.m. Punch a TV. Check it out. All right? A busy day today. And then Thursday night, Miss Form. It's the first Thursday night of the month. The Miss Form. All are invited. It is the first Thursday of this month. February. Amazing. Let me go quickly back to Hunter, a first-time call out of Japan. So, Hunter, you want to find God. Am I right? Without being afraid.
Yeah, that's the thing. And if I can, Jesse, I'm actually on the stream too. I've been reading it. I saw one comment that really made me think. It says Hunter is in Ezekiel. I want to know if you agree with that, because I think that's a good question.
Are you asking me if you're in your ego?
Yeah, I want to ask you in particular. I think you're the kind of guy to really dispel.
And what does that mean? What does that mean to be in your ego?
I mean, I think in terms of self, I think it's like a self thing. Do you think I'm more? Is the roadblock me being too in my own head about this, rather than? From what we've talked about, forgetting my conceptions of God and accepting it as something progenitor to all. Is that the roadblock? Is the self?
I don't quite know what you're talking about, but here's what I want you to know. If you really want to know God, you got to see what's happening in your heart first, and you got to forgive. You got to forgive your mother for turning you away from your father, and then for your father for not protecting you from her. God will forgive you and then draw you into the kingdom of heaven within. And all fears and all doubts and all worries and all those things will disappear when you forgive. So you got to drop your anger. Have you forgiven your mother?
Absolutely.
Did you tell her?
I can tell her right now. It's whatever time it is in America right now, I'm sure.
Did you tell her that you forgive her for what she's done to you?
I will. You know what? I promise you I will.
Did you tell your mother you forgive her for what she's done to you?
Not yet, Jesse.
And why not?
I suppose because she's the one that presented me these questions that made me want to pursue faith.
But she's the one that screwed you up, and now she's trying to pretend she's saving you. You're not going to...
Maybe.
No,
I do want to say, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. When it comes to my father, turning me away from my father is maybe more than one who turned me away from faith. I had a very strong relationship with my father's mother. My father's mother had a bit of a hard time with a supposedly faithful man, and that turned my father away from faith. And so I never really had that faithful influence from my father. I had it from my mother, and it's only recently that my dad's trying to come to that same conclusion as my mom. And so I want to join him in that.
But
I guess that's kind of the complication.
But your mother turned you away from your father, because your mother, this idea that she has faith is not true.
Okay.
That's just something made up that she either heard in the churches or she read. And in her mind, she thinks she know God, but she doesn't. So you can't be following your mother.
Okay.
Were you not close to your mother growing up? Were you close to your mother growing up?
Yeah, I was. I had a good family. I was close to my mom.
Who were you closer to, your father or your mother?
Probably my mother.
Who were you closest to, your mother or your father?
My mother.
I'm sorry?
My mother, sorry.
Okay. Here's what I recommend, buddy. You got to hear, if you want to know God, forget about this idea of having faith in God and all that. That's a weakness. If you want to know him, you got to overcome your anger of your heart. And so that anger you have came from your mother, and you resent your father. It's all like he was weak, and you resent him, but you got to forgive them. God will forgive you, and then you practice being present rather than lost in your head. Let all your ideas go about God, and you will know God without a doubt. It will happen. You can't make it happen. It will happen on its own, but you got to overcome the evil of your heart first.
Okay.
And forget about all you've been taught by having faith and have you found faith in God. All that, it's just a bunch of crap.
Okay.
And then do the silent prayer. Are you familiar with my silent prayer?
I'm actually not. No. I'd like to hear it.
Go to rebuildingtheman.com/silent prayer and you start doing that. And you'll see, God will reveal himself to you.
Okay. That's actually kind of what I've been hoping for.
He will.
I've wanted to open myself up to the Lord in the sense of wanting to see him in more of the world. But one thing I want to say.
Well, you're not going to see him. You're not going to see him in the world. You're going to see him in you. And then you will overcome the world, and you will have amazing life right here on Earth.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can think of it that way.
Yeah. Don't look for him in the world. You're not going to find him there.
You sure? I mean, I don't want to doubt you, but I don't know. I want to find beauty in God's creations.
Why?
And I think the point of that.
Why you want that?
I mean, because I think even if we're even if our being here is by chance, I want to think that chance was decided by something greater than I can imagine, by something fantastic, like an omnipotent creator that loves us, you know.
And why are you thinking that way? Where you get that thinking from?
I guess just by having my imagination about God, but from reading the comments, from being a nerd,
you need to stop paying attention to the comments. How are you going to find God and you're paying attention to the world? You can't do both. Either you're going to find God or you're going to stay in the world with evil people.
I mean, I guess because I firmly believe that people are the most beautiful creation, because human beings are the only thing that can see the beauty of God.
Where you get all nothing that else from? That's also romantic. Where you getting that from?
I guess imagination.
You are. You are locked into your imagination. And you're being deceived. There is nothing beautiful about people at all. Zero. This is your imagination. I mean, you're living... You're living a life of thrills in your imagination, and it's keeping you from God. There's no beauty in human beings. Human beings are evil. They're wicked. There's no love in them. There's no beauty in human beings. Zero.
I mean, I guess I see beauty in the human beings that have found a purpose in sacredness, you know, and finding
what
is
sacred.
Why are
you speaking that way?
I guess I thought about the sacredness
and the beauty and the sacredness of you. Why are you speaking that way? What the?
I don't know. I guess. Should I stop? I mean,
yes.
I've been trying to find some level of like profound truth and beauty and and finding this level of divinity and seeing human beings as the most perfect creation of the Lord. Because if we were created in his image, then we can see the beauty of his creation. right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously.
Did you go to
school? Coming from an act.
What school you went to?
Public school.
So how did you learn to speak?
But I mean, I don't think anyone.
How did you learn to speak this way about people? I want to see the beauty and the love and the light and this in human being. You're not going to find that in human beings, man. Human beings are evil. And their hearts are wicked. Man know the depths of the wickedness of human beings' hearts.
I guess I just don't want to believe that goodness begins with something besides us, which maybe that's what these people are talking about, the ego.
It is the ego. It's the nature. The ego is the nature of Satan. The ego. The ego is the nature of evil.
Can I spread? Okay, then how can I spread this goodness?
No,
to the mortal man. This really?
No.
No.
Especially speaking the way you're speaking.
Really? Then
you're in La La Land.
I guess I'm in La La. Then, I mean, Jesse, how do I cope? I mean, what's left? What's left at that point? I mean, I want to still find the camaraderie in my fellow man. I want to still believe that my fellow man can lead himself to what is good. You know,
to what is
meaningful.
Where as long as you believe a lie, you're never gonna know the truth. You have a fantasy that's keeping you in hell.
Mm.
All thoughts are all lies all the time about anything. Are you trying to date? Are you dating a Christian girl or something?
No, I'm not dating anybody right now.
Oh, okay.
But I am in the I'm in the Christian capital of Japan. So maybe.
And that's why that's why you're speaking that way?
Maybe. That's a good question. I actually have no idea. We'll see. I'll call back in 6 months and I'll tell you.
So here's what I recommend, Hunter, and then I got to run. You drop all your little, you drop all that fantasy language that you feel or speaking. You stop looking for God in other people. You stop looking for him around you and look within and forgive your mother, man. You got to go to your mother and forgive her and your father, and then God will forgive you, and you live from within so you can overcome your false ideas about mankind, human beings.
I'll do that. You know what? I'm going to be in America in a week. I will tell my mother, my father that in person.
Okay.
I promise you. I promise you, Jesse.
And do the silent prayer. Let me know how it goes, all right?
I'll look it up. I'll do it tonight.
RebuildingTheMan.com/silent prayer.
Will do. Hey, Jesse, I wanted to let you know I appreciate you, man.
You're welcome, buddy. You stay with it. Don't give up.
Will do.
All right.
Have a good night. Or have a good morning. It's morning for you. Have a good morning.
All right. You have a good night.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesse.
All right, buddy. 888-775-3773. Carl. Out of Maryland. Carl, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
All is well.
Thank you. I just want to start off by saying that I am a Christian.
Are you on a speakerphone?
No, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me good?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know the Bible from, you know, all from Genesis to Revelations. But one thing I do know is that from what I've read is that man is no good. There's nothing good about God's creation in us. That's one thing I've learned from listening to you over the last couple years. And I didn't get it at first, but now I understand it because I actually thought I was a good person.
Yeah.
But when I examined myself and my thoughts, I'm wicked. I'm no better than Jeffrey Dahmer. I just haven't done what he done.
Absolutely.
You know? So I say all that just to say that how do one live in the present and not so much in your past or in the future, because that's one thing I do struggle with, yeah, is thinking too much about things that aren't here yet instead of staying present, which causes a lot of judgment, yeah, among others. It causes anxiety. It causes overthinking. It causes anger in myself. So how can I stay present and not think far ahead or far behind?
And the way you do it is you got to forgive in your heart. Have you forgiven your mother?
I still hold on to some things. I haven't totally forgiven her.
Have you forgiven your mother?
No.
Have you forgiven your father?
No.
And so when you say you open it up by saying you are a Christian, what do you mean you're a Christian?
I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
What?
But I said I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
But how have you done that and you have not even forgiven your parents?
Wow, good point.
No, that was a question.
I'm deceiving myself.
Right. Why haven't you heard me say, go and forgive your mother and father so you can enter into, so that God can forgive you and you can enter into the kingdom within? Why haven't you done that?
Because even when I have tried to have a conversation with my mother, she always go back to, oh, when you were young, you disrespected me and you did this. And it draws me to get away from her. And with my father, it's more so he wants me to be something. He wants me to be versus accepting who I am today. And that causes me to not even want to call or talk to him. So,
But because of that anger toward them, it's keeping you away from the kingdom. Your mother doesn't have to admit anything. Leave her in her hell. Leave her in her denial. You just say, hey, I've been resenting you for what you've done to me. Turn me away from my father and impose your will, whatever, right? And Father, wow, I forgive you for what you've done. And don't ask for forgiveness. And if your mother said, oh, I should be forgiving you, you give her the finger. You forgive her. You forgive her, and God will forgive you and draw you in. And then you can practice being present, rather than lost in your thoughts, thinking about tomorrow or yesterday, which doesn't exist, by the way. But you got to forgive first, mm-hmm, so the light can come on.
That makes sense. I mean, I can do that, but that don't mean I have to hang around them, right?
Not at all. You don't have to have anything to do with them at all, but just don't resent them, because that anger is causing you to play God. And when you play God, you can never know God. You are your own false God.
So could it be possible that that could also affect every aspect of my life?
100%.
Because on my job, I'm a supervisor, and I have some disgruntled employees. And, man, sometimes I take it personal with them. Like, I think about them in some ways that are ungodly. And it's because I look at it. Because, you know, I work around a lot of men, and they act very immature. And it's like, man, it's under my skin. So maybe that's why a lot of things I take so personally.
Yes. Can you hold for a minute?
Yes, sir.
All right, hold on. 888-775-3773. Quick break. One more hour to go. Hate news is coming now, and I'll be back in a moment. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that, out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven.
Earthquakes in Greece. Santorini, crazy. A little Grammys update, I guess, if you care. A breakup. They say breakup before Valentine's Day. That's what Comedy Nonsense Network experts recommend. And belated Groundhog Day. Like I said, 6 more weeks of winter. And there's a little bit of abortion pill drama. Somebody got indicted for sending abortion pills to a state that you're not allowed to do that, I heard. This is the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Female Monday, February 3rd, AD 2025. There is one line open. You can call in right now during Hake News, Not Fake News. And JLP will be right back to your calls. Hang tight, callers. Much appreciated. And super chatters. Comedy Nonsense Network, CNN reports around 200 earthquakes shook the iconic Greek island of Santorini in recent days, prompting schools and businesses to close temporarily. Authorities have advised residents to avoid large indoor gatherings, steer clear of multiple ports, including the old port of Fira, F-I-R-A. Pardon me if I'm butchering the names. That's just below the island's capital. The most powerful quake was 4.6 magnitude. It's not that big, but it's nothing to sneeze at either, I guess, right? Maybe you can sneeze at it. According to authorities, Santorini is no stranger to earthquakes, sitting at, as it does, on several, at least a few, maybe, fault lines. The risk of tremors doesn't stop a reported 3.4 million people from visiting that island each year, far outnumbering Santorini's 20,000 or so residents. Wow. And the Grammy Awards, billed as music's biggest night, took place Sunday in Los Angeles. Beyoncé, wife of Jay-Z, she won an Album of the Year for invading our beautiful, once beautiful anyway, country music. What a mess. I guess that's her first win in the for Album of the Year. That rapper guy from Compton, I'm pointing down towards Compton area, Kendrick Lamar, he won too. For some song that went against our greatest rapper, Drake. Whatever. He's more listenable. Drake is more listenable. Am I right? Anyway, during the program, the Grammys also honored emergency workers. I shake my head. And highlighted fundraisers for L.A. wildfire relief. They don't support being prepared for the fire so we can take out the fire quickly in the first place. No, they want a disaster so that we can have relief. What a mess. The show's host, oh, Lord, this guy, Trevor Noah, the South African mixed guy, whatever he is, said fundraising efforts promoted during the telecast has raised $7 million from viewers, also known as suckers. What a mess. If you're planning to end a rocky relationship, CNN advises. Now, you don't necessarily want to take their advice. They say some therapists say there are benefits to breaking up before Valentine's Day, which is coming up in like less than 2 weeks. What a mess. Anyway, 6 more weeks of winter. We may have it this year if Punxsutawney, pardon me, I'm butchering the name, Phil's prediction is correct on Groundhog Day. Phil saw his shadow, meaning 6 more weeks of winter may be on the way, according to the legend. I don't know what the difference is if he sees his shadow or doesn't see his shadow. Don't ask me. But a New York doctor has been indicted for sending abortion pills to Louisiana, according to the far-left females at the Skim. A Louisiana grand jury indicted Dr. Margaret Carpenter for prescribing abortion pills to a pregnant teenager in the state of Louisiana. Her medical practice and the minor's mother, who ordered the pills, wow, evil mother, were also charged with criminal abortion. Wow, criminal abortion. Under Louisiana's new near-total abortion ban, it makes no exceptions for rape and incest, rightly so, rightly not. They face up to 15 years in prison, the physicians do, and fines. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP, Hour 3.
to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show. What the? The third hour already. You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. My brand new biblical question. Is anger a part of intelligence? Is anger a part of intelligence or stupidity? Is anger a part of intelligence or stupidity? Amazing question. You can listen to the show live as it is happening wherever you are. You can podcast. But you can listen while it is happening on your iPhone or iPad, no matter where you are. We are heard around the world by everybody. And they mama if you're black. And everybody their mama if you're white. So you can listen on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. 4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. A Bun JLP Cash App. Bun JLP Cash App. It's Monday. It's the last hour for the show on Monday. It is Female Monday. All my life, I had to fight. Oh, God.
I like to make men uncomfortable.
All my life, I had to fight.
Let women take over.
Some of us believe that women are getting paid less than men.
I proudly say I'm a feminist. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Deep in their soul, they want to be home with those babies. We've been lied to for so long.
I do believe. I want to go quickly back to Carl. And so Carl, he got to go forgive his folks. He's a supervisor at his job, and he's having a rough time dealing with the employees. Am I right, Carl?
Yes.
Okay. And your question about that is what?
I was asking about just staying present, you know, just staying present and not thinking about the past.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's been times when I did try to talk to my mother, but she went into the...
Stay close to your phone.
Yeah. Can you hear me better?
Yes, sorry. I can. Absolutely.
Yeah. There were times when I tried to talk to her, but she went into the black mama mode of, when you were young, you did this, and I tried my best, baby, and you did this. Instead of her saying, I could have did better as a parent.
Right.
Which, you know, we know you're not going to get that.
No.
And for my father, it's no, really not much better because he's not really a strong man.
Yeah.
And it caused me to be extremely insecure and weak growing up. I mean, I've gotten much better. I mean, I'm not saying I'm near where I need to be, but as a man, I understand that, you know, I need to get better with my life.
And well, all you have to do now is now that you see this anger, which is separating you from God. And forgive your mother, forgive your father, and it doesn't matter. Are you on a speaker or something? I'm getting a feedback.
No.
Okay.
No, I got you right close.
And it doesn't matter what they say. Don't argue with them. Don't try to prove anything. You just say, hey, I just want you to know I realize you did your best, and I'm wrong for being angry at you about it. And God will forgive you and draw you in. And then do the silent prayer, because you've been living in your thoughts all your life when you were traumatized by your mother. And you've been living in your head. And God will bring you out of those thoughts. You're not your thoughts. You're not the emotions. You're not your body. And in doing the silent prayer, it will show you how to stay present. And in the present is where God is. In the past or the future, which is time, is where Satan is. And Satan and his little demons are trying to keep you in the past by thinking about the past, because it really doesn't exist, or the future, which doesn't exist. So do the silent prayer. Forgive your mother, father. Do the silent prayer. And you'll find yourself staying in the present rather than lost in your head. It'll start to happen naturally.
Okay. Yeah, I would definitely do that. And also, is music a big part of our spiritual journey as well? Because I do like to listen to a lot of ungodly music. You know, I do like hip-hop music. So is it good to give that up?
Yeah, well, the only reason you're listening to that music, you're trying to find something to make you feel better.
Right.
And so once you work on yourself spiritually, you will develop the right relationship with music. God put music here for us to enjoy, but not to get a sense of identity from it. And so you'll be able to enjoy music, but you won't use it to escape. You'll face all things.
Okay. Okay. All right, Jesse, I'm going to take that advice, and I'm going to try the silent prayer as well.
Yeah, do the silent. You can do your little hooping and hollering. And when you're done hooping and hollering, and you be still and know God.
All right. And I'll call you within maybe a month or two and give you an update on everything.
But you got to forgive your father and your mother so that God can forgive you, and he will change your heart from anger, which is evil, to love, which is of him. And do the prayer, you'll be fine.
All right. Thank you, Jesse. God bless you.
Call me again. Let me know how it goes.
I will.
All right, buddy. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Vicky, a first-time caller out of North Carolina. Vicky, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I had a question about, I guess, marriage. My husband and I had been married before. And we definitely have had issues. We stormed COVID and everything else out together. And we don't have any children together, so we don't have ties of that nature. But I guess I married a broken man who recently, as of like the beginning of this year, had started following you. And he recently left the home last Saturday. And said he needed to fix himself. He was no good to anybody. Since he has been listening to you, he did leave heavy drinking alone and other items, which is a blessing in itself, because he said he's let go of the anger, and I think he plans to forgive his parents soon. But I'm just wondering, as a wife who has stuck by him for a couple years of a lot of, you know, alcohol-related issues, even a domestic violence issue, I gave grace and forgave and dropped everything to clear his way so nothing, you know, wound up on him permanently, because I loved him. I've went against, of course, my family and everything because I've loved him. And now I really just don't understand the outlook and why all of a sudden, you know, he chose to leave the home, because I began listening to you when I found out where some of this was coming from. And I really don't understand the part that you speak about, you know, men leaving the wives because they can't handle them or becomes too much. Yet I also have heard that if the man was no longer beta and alpha and working, you know, with God, that he would be able to set aside the wife's issues and be able to know how to handle her and move forward and be able to lead her correctly. So I'm really confused. I was just seeking your insight in this.
And your question for me is what?
I guess the main thing is, what is your view and what is the correct way to look at a husband leaving a wife to find themselves? I mean, how does the Bible interpret marriage and divorce? What are reasons appropriate for divorce?
So your question to me is, what are reasons for divorce or something else?
Correct. I guess, yes, that would be the start, yes.
Didn't you say you were married before?
Yes.
And did you have children with your first husband?
I did. He's deceased.
And are the children adults?
No, sir. I have one child, and he's 12.
Oh. And did you tell me your now husband, forgave you for abuse? You say you used to abuse him?
No, I had to forgive him for abuse.
Oh, he abused you, or you abused him?
It was more of an alcohol-related fit that wound him up in jail, to be honest. He never physically hit me. He just had some issues, and the police, you know, when you contact the police when things get out of control, somebody is going to jail.
And so you called the police on him?
Yes.
And he had not done anything to you, but you called the police anyway?
I called the police because it was becoming violent. He was in my face, and I was getting shoved, and I called them to calm him down.
Amazing.
Unfortunately, he was so out of control when that happened. He lashed out and tried to frame me for hitting him, which is why he went to jail.
So you hit him?
No, I never hit him.
What'd you do?
I was on the phone with dispatch. I never laid a hand on my husband. But I was afraid.
He said that you hit him, though?
He said that, yes, but I had proof that I did not. And after everything was said and done, I'm the one that went to court and made them drop it. They wanted to prosecute, and I said no.
I went to court.
I stood up for him.
Why would a man stay with a woman who would call the police on him?
Why would a man let himself get out of control to the point of making his wife fear him?
That's not the question.
It was all alcohol. This was all alcohol induced.
Why would a man stay with a woman that would call the police on him?
Because he recognized he was at fault.
But why would he stay with a woman that would call the police on him?
Because he was at fault.
How was he at fault? You called the police.
Because he was out of control.
But what did that have to do with you calling the police?
I needed assistance to get him under control. He was blacked out.
And
he was legally blacked out, had no recollection.
And so why did you need assistance if he was blacked out?
Because he was still up and moving and doing things, but he wasn't there. He doesn't really remember much of what happened, if that makes sense. Again, alcohol was involved. It was not a good situation. But after all of that, I gave him grace, and I forgave him.
And where did you get the grace from to give him?
God.
I went
into prayer over what to do.
God didn't give you no grace to give him. That doesn't make sense.
God told me he was my husband. He had never done anything like that before, and to give him grace.
And so why you think God told you that this man was your husband?
Yes, sir.
Why would God put someone with you that don't belong with you and you end up calling the police? Would God give you a husband that you would have to call the police on?
I mean, bad things happen of the world every day.
Would God give you a husband that you would have to call the police?
I mean, unfortunately, it appears that way. I don't know what you're alluding to.
So are you saying God is an imperfect God and he gives faulty gifts?
No, I'm saying that
then you got a husband that you said is not perfect. So God gave you an imperfect gift, right?
No, as humans, we are imperfect and can have imperfect actions.
So you believe that God gave you an imperfect husband?
I mean, I'm not perfect myself.
You're not answering my question. You believe that God gave you an imperfect husband?
I guess.
God said he doesn't give imperfect gifts. Remember he said that for the parents to treat them children, if your child asks for a piece of bread, I don't know how it goes, would you give them a stone? He said, well, I would give you a perfect gift. Why would God give you an imperfect gift and then go back and give you some grace? That doesn't make sense.
Well, God gives all of us grace. He gives us love. He gives us forgiveness. And we, too, have to do the same thing for our friends and our family. We're not perfect.
But you don't have love.
I do have love.
No, you don't.
I honestly love everybody.
No, you don't.
I might not love actions.
You don't even
love
your husband.
Yes, sir, I do.
If you loved your husband, you would not have called the police.
I loved my husband, and I did not want to wound up hurt by my husband and him wind up in even more trouble because, unfortunately,
that's not true, because if that were true, you would not have called the police. Have you apologized to your husband for him bringing the worst out of you, for what you have done? Have you apologized to him for what you did to him to make him act that way?
I apologized to him for reacting that way, yes. I apologized for contacting the police.
Did you apologize to him for him bringing the hell out of you to cause you to do what you did to make him react that way?
No, should he not have apologized
didn't apologize to him for imposing your hell on him?
Sir, I walked in to that type of attitude. I hadn't been home for hours, and I walked into him in his, as he said, he has told me he was in his thoughts, in his head, listening to music and drinking a whole jar of alcohol. And unfortunately, I walked into that. I wasn't even home. I walked into him behaving in an erratic manner, and I tried to diffuse it for several hours, and it grew. I unfortunately, if you weren't there, you don't quite understand, but I really would like you to, could you answer my question as far as divorce and what the Bible says about divorce?
Well, first of all, you've been married before. Secondly, has he been married mm-hmm. before?
Yes, sir, twice.
And now he's gone. Be glad that he's gone. And you work on you overcoming your hell. Take this opportunity to work on the hell that's in you. You got to forgive your mother. You got to forgive your father so you can overcome anger. And then you can know God. Right now, you don't know God. You wouldn't know God if he walked in your house and slapped you. You wouldn't know him. So you got to overcome your anger so that God can reveal himself to you and make you free.
As I'm working on myself and trying to understand all this, and I have listened to your broadcast and everything quite a bit over the last weeks. So I listen to them every day.
Have you forgiven your mother?
No, I have not went to my mother, and my father is
is deceased.
Why haven't you gone to your mother and forgiven her?
I'm trying to, I guess, understand why I'm going to forgive her, because my dad raised me. My mother didn't. I know it's an unconventional situation, but when my parents divorced, my dad fought and got custody of me. And he's the one that actually raised me, not my mom. And my dad is now deceased, unfortunately. But I really don't know what I'm supposed to forgive them for. I don't hold any anger or ill will towards either of them.
Have you gone and forgiven your mother for being a no good mother?
No.
And why not?
Because I think she did the best she could.
She did. That's why you need to forgive her.
Okay. And my father? He put his heart and soul into me.
So you have no anger against your father, am I right?
No, sir. My dad was the closest thing that I could call a saint besides God. He raised me. He did everything by the book.
Well,
he
good.
He took me through Christian school. He took me to church. He raised me in the faith. He did without to provide for me.
Well, most adult men and women don't resent their father. They yearn for the father. It's the mother that they resent. You got to go and forgive your mother for being no good. She could not help herself. She did the best she could do. And God will forgive you. And then you need to just be still and watch the evil thoughts in your mind. Stop believing them and just work on you. Don't worry about your husband. Let him, it's all like he's working on himself. Let him go work on himself. Be glad he's gone so you can focus on you. Don't worry about a divorce at this time. Don't think about that at all. In due season, in due time, you will see what to do about the marriage relationship. But for now, you need to overcome your hell while your husband is working on his hell. Because you're as screwed up as he is. And two devils came together in a marriage and just brought more misery upon each other.
And is there a way to repair this?
Yeah, by forgiving and doing the silent prayer. And God will show you what to do. He will show you whether to stay or to leave, if he come back or not. If he comes back, and if he's working on himself and you're working on yourself, it will work itself out. Because in relationships, you're not supposed to put any effort at all, zero effort, to make a relationship work. Either it works naturally or it's not meant to be. It'll just be hell. You'll be trying to make something work that wasn't meant to be.
So are we supposed to still stay in contact so we can see the changes in one another, or how does this work?
Don't do any of that. You just work on you and let your husband go and leave him alone and let him work on himself. You work on you.
Okay.
That makes sense?
It does. I know you don't like fear, but I have the fear that every time he has left me multiple times, and every time he leaves, because in our state, there is no legal separation. So every time he leaves, he steps out of our marriage and seeks the companionship of another woman.
How do you know he seeks the companionship of another woman?
Because, unfortunately, that woman comes and lets me know about it.
And so why are you staying with a man that want to be with another woman?
Because I love him, and I forgive him and let him back and hope and pray he doesn't do it again. And he says this time it's different, that he's working on himself. And, I mean, I can see a change in him. Because obviously, you know, the drinking and everything is gone, and I'm very proud of him for that. And I've never seen that in 7 years, because that's been a huge issue of ours, and now it's gone. But, you know, he left. So I'm just trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do.
You're supposed to let him be gone, wish him well, and work on you. And you don't love him. You don't even have love. How are you going to love him?
I have to disagree with that. I do love him.
No, you don't love him.
How can you tell somebody that you don't love somebody?
How you love him? Where you get the love from?
My heart.
You don't love him if you, where you get the love from in your heart?
Because God gave me that love.
No, you have Satan love. You haven't even gone and forgiven your mother. How you have love? God has not forgiven you yet. How do you have love?
But how does magically, if I go and forgive my mother, how is that going to flip a switch in my head or my heart, and all of a sudden then I know love and can give love? I don't understand that.
Well, you would never be able to give love because you would never have love. Human beings don't have love. But when you truly see that you're wrong for resenting your mother and resenting your husband and giving him the hell that you've given him, when you see that you're wrong and you admit that you're wrong to them, God will forgive you, and he will magically, if you want to use that word, he will change your heart from hate, which is evil, to love. And then once your heart changed, he's going to bring you, start to work on you to bring you out of your imagination, and you're going to see that you never had love, that you've been a wicked woman all of your life, and there's no love in you. But you'll be made to have love because God will give you his love. And it's that love you're going to love all people with, and that love does not require that anyone love you back. You will love them as God loved you.
Okay, and can I ask, is he supposed to forgive himself or tell me? I mean, is he supposed to, you know, tell me that he's sorry for the hell he put me through?
Don't worry about him. You just work on you. You just work
okay,
on
I was
you.
Just, I was just because, made, I was just wondering if it worked both ways.
Because if you had love, truly had love, and your husband walked out, it wouldn't be a big deal at all. You'd be like, okay, bye. Because if he doesn't want to be with you, he doesn't have to be with you. And something's wrong with you for wanting him to be with you. And you have told me that he's been messing around with other women, and a woman told you, and you still want him back because you have no love.
Do you mean I have no love for myself?
You have no love for anybody.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to still wrap my head around everything, which is why I'm still listening and tuning in, and why I decided to call in today to try to talk to you and figure this out. Because I went into scriptures and I couldn't figure this out.
Right, you can't figure it out. No one can. Only the light of the Father will make it clear for you. So be glad that he's gone. Wish him well. Don't be trying to find him. Don't be talking about him out there to your little friends and things like that. And you work on you now. You have a perfect opportunity to work on you. If you're missing your husband, it means that you have a problem. If you're mad because he's gone and you're longing for him, you have a problem. If you're angry about it, you have a problem. So you need to overcome all those things. And if he's working on himself, he may come back, or he might not. But whatever happens, you're going to be fine because you're overcoming the hell in you. You're overcoming the darkness. Right now, you don't know God. You didn't know about him. You read about him. You heard about him. And knowing about God is not knowing God. It's just like knowing about Martin Luther King Jr., thinking that he's a conservative when he's a socialist. Can you hold for a minute?
Yes, sir.
Hold on. The treasure chest is now open on DLive. I'll be back in a moment. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry. because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she would do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman's going to have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong. But do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see. But you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature. Okay, folks, welcome back. 888-775-3773-888-77-JESSE. There is a line open if someone wanted to jump in there. The Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour, right after my show. The Hake, H-A-K-E Report.com. And James Hake is on fire. And then Joel Friday TV. He black. Joel Friday TV, Monday through Thursday, even though his name is Friday. Nothing happens on Friday. Joel Thursday, Friday TV at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And then the American Anchor Baby. On the run from the ice baby. He's running from Christian Noel. amazing. He's happy Trump is in the office, and yet he's on the run. Nowhere to hide, nowhere to run. And then brand new episode of Punchin' TV at 2 p.m. Punchin' TV. Watch this.
Does she look better with or without makeup?
My girl, let me sign with him.
Be careful, Nick.
Yeah. You like the makeup and the fake boobs, fake butt. You like the plastic surgery.
Enhancements are cool.
See?
As long as they're not overdone.
Why do you have to get an enhancement? It's like you're lazy.
They make a woman more attractive.
Would you pick a 9 enhanced or a 7.5 natural?
What does that mean?
Because you want to have sex with her.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nick.
Just there was some confusion I had to clear.
This is RS when y'all can't watch that. Joel saying fate B and fate B. And then he asked about that. What the? But at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And then, good. While you're watching Punchin' TV, you could be having your punchy coffee. I have my own coffee now. It's amazing, too. Punchy's coffee. It's good. It is delicious. Check it out. Every dime you buy, pay for Punchin' Coffee, goes back to our nonprofit, RebuildingTheMan.com. Rebuilding the family by Rebuilding the Man. Every dime goes back. So get your Punchin' Coffee by going to RebuildingTheMan.com, RebuildingTheMan.com/store. RebuildingTheMan.com. That's true. Thank you. I want to go quickly back to Vicky out of North Carolina. So Vicky's husband is working on himself, according to Vicky. He left. Now Vicky want to know, should I divorce? What should I do? Vicky.
Sir?
So don't divorce. Forget about divorce for now and just work on you. let him be God and work on himself, and let God's will be done.
Okay. I still have the question, though, is when he did step out of the marriage before, is that grounds for divorce? No. I mean, biblically or no?
No.
Okay. In the way I was brought up, and I'm not saying it's correct, but the way I was brought up was you don't divorce. So that's why I'm struggling with him leaving.
But there is a time for divorce and there is a time to forgive, right? For right now, mm-hmm. since you're not sure what to do, it's best to do nothing but work on you. Do you understand that you got to overcome your hell that you were already yes. screwed up before he met you?
Yes. Yeah, I understand, and I take accountability for my stuff as well. I understand that.
And do you know that the Bible says if the other person want to leave, let them go?
Yes.
So if the Bible said let him go. And don't even think about it. And just work on you to overcome your hell. Don't think about him at all. Just wish him well so that you can work on you. And if he should come back, both you'll be working on yourself. You said he was working on himself. Everything will be fine. Or whatever will happen, you'll be fine with it.
Okay.
And God did not give you a husband that you would have to call the police on.
So when you say that, are you telling me that this marriage is doomed from the beginning, or are you saying that it can turn around? Because when you made that comment just now, I did have hope and faith that, you know, if we both work on ourselves, potentially something may, you know, come out of it. Don't know. Leave it alone. Let go and let God.
God would not give you a husband that you would have to call the police on. God does not give imperfect gifts. Human beings give imperfect gifts. Your parents give imperfect gifts. God does not. So this idea that your husband from God is an illusion. You're not from God to him, and he's not from God to you.
Oh, okay. So I'm even more lost now with you saying that than you telling me that, you know, obviously I need to work on myself. He needs to work on himself. And then what, you know, what will be is meant to be pretty much.
Right. Once you work on you, and you said he's working on himself, whatever happened, you'll be able to handle it. If he come back, it'll be fine. If he doesn't, it'll still be fine. But right now, because you're disconnected from God, your life is not fine. You're not at peace.
But if he does, will God be in it at that point and it be ordained by him?
If you work on you and he's working on himself and he should come back, it will be, if he stays, it'll be fine. If he doesn't, it'll be fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you going to forgive your mother?
Yes, sir.
And when you see your husband, will you apologize to him for the hell you brought upon him? Because it has not been easy living with you.
I can take accountability for my actions. I would hope he would take accountability for his own as well.
Am I right in that it has not been easy living with you?
I mean, I think we both have had issues. It was not easy living with me when I was asking, you know, for alcohol to be put aside.
Am I right in that when I say it has not been easy living with you?
You're right.
Right. So you need to, when you see him again, apologize. Husband, I was wrong. I've been an awful person to live with. Because you become just like your mother, and you drove the man to alcohol. He didn't know.
No, he actually
didn't know how. He didn't know how to deal with you, and he probably come from other relationship with women just like you, and he just didn't know how to deal with you.
Sir, he actually apologized to me. He said he thought he made me his God. He was seeking something from a past marriage. And
good for him, but have you apologized for what you've done to him?
I have, but not on specifics of what you're talking about as far as living with me was, you know, hell. No, I didn't say that. I apologized. Why not? I didn't know I was supposed to.
Why not? You know, I'm supposed to apologize bringing hell upon your family?
Well, I apologize for, I mean, certain situations that have happened. I mean, I always come back and apologize for that type of stuff.
But you do it again. You apologize, but you repeat it. You say, I'm sorry, but you really didn't mean it. You didn't mean it, because if you meant it, you would not have done it again.
My actions are generally a reaction to his action.
That's an excuse.
I can see to where you know, it comes across as an excuse.
No, it is an excuse. You're making excuses.
Well, I figured that since the drinking had stopped, which was honestly most of what caused hell in this house.
No, that's not what alcohol did not call hell in the house. You had the hell in you, and he had the hell in himself, and that's what caused the hell. Alcohol did not have anything to do with it. You're trying to control him by making him not drink, and that's a problem.
Well, he stopped drinking on his own.
Right, but you tried.
But
he didn't stop when you were trying to make him stop. You were playing mama.
You're correct. I did.
You need to.
You're absolutely correct. I did not like seeing him curled up in the floor, you know, in fetal position, or be sick the whole next day. Yes, sir.
But it had nothing to do with you.
I know, but when
you... So you owe him an apology.
Okay.
And so because of time, I got to run, but you need to forgive your mother and your father. Well, you say you forgive your father. And do the silent prayer. Leave your husband alone. Work on you and let God's will be done.
Thank you, sir. Have a blessed day.
And don't be bugging him. Don't be calling him. And when he come back, don't be accusing him.
Yes, sir.
And
Thank you.
That makes sense?
Yes, sir, it does.
Do you disagree
with... I appreciate your time.
Do you disagree with any of that? Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong. I'm just trying to wrap my head around everything the best I can. A lot of it's very new to me.
Forgiving your mother so God can forgive you. Can you wrap your head around that?
Yes, sir.
Doing the silent prayer.
I know that's the first step. I'm already doing the silent prayer.
Okay, then.
He did tell me about that, and I started doing the silent prayer and trying to let go of my anger. I am working on that.
Okay. And then leave him alone. Let him work his issues out. Without calling him or accusing him or anything, can you wrap your head around that?
Yes, sir.
All right. So if you just work on you, be glad. Don't be glad he gone. Meaning, don't worry about it. Just let him go work his life out. You work on you and let God's will be done, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Let me know how it goes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too. Oh, amazing. 888-775-3773. Super chat.
Super chat.
Super chat.
Jim in Alaska over on punchy.tv/JLP.
Amazing.
Good morning, all. I hope you have a great week. Great church yesterday. Smiley face.
Thank you. It was, I want to say blessing, but that won't cover it. Thank you.
Jake Hudson, 12 on DLive with a diamond. JLP is awesome.
Amazing. Thanks for your support, helping us to help others. I appreciate it.
Three coffees from Bridget. New biblical question.
Is anger a part of intelligence or stupidity?
Anger is part of intelligence because those with intelligence are angry, says Bridget. Three coffees.
Nice. I'll put my little two cents in on Sunday. Thank you.
I wonder if that's the gal from yesterday. From church.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I've lost track of the names. Sion says, don't scare me, Jesse. I'm about to fly. And it's American Airlines.
Oh, my God. You better go on your knees and pray to the Father. American Airlines of all. No, I'm playing. I'm playing, Sion. No, I wish you well on that. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Three coffees.
Thank you, Sion. Have a safe trip.
Yeah. Tony Mango, three coffees. I'm ready to go forgive my parents. Who should I start with, mama or daddy? Thanks.
Whichever come first. When you see them, whichever first. They may both be in the same rooms at the same time. Both at the same time. Don't plan. Take advantage of the opportunity. I wish you well. Thank you.
High Creek bought five coffees.
Very generous. Lord, the creek don't rise.
Thanks for the guidance.
Thank you. Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. Amazing.
Thank you, High Creek.
Yeah.
Wayne from Texas, five copies. Biblical question.
Is anger a part of intelligence or stupidity?
Anger is part of both intelligence and stupidity because intelligence and stupidity reside in the mind, and those who operate from the mind will have the spirit of hate and anger, he says.
So it sounds like he's saying an intelligent person with anger is stupid.
Sounds like it.
Nice. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. Amazing.
Lori bought a coffee answering the biblical question.
Is anger a part of intelligence or stupidity?
Anger is part of intelligence because thoughts come from intelligence and anger comes from thoughts, says Lori.
Amazing. Very interesting. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. Thank you.
Shout out to today's top contributors on the DLive crew, Mav Angel, Jake Hudson 12, Cactus Eater Bear, Games for Rec, Dawn of a New Day 777, Kid Combo 1, Misty, Kilo Alpha Tango, Wolf 336, Thule Bear, and the rest of the supporters. Thanks, guys. And I do believe that is all for now.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Amazing. Hey, real fat, anger, is anger part of intelligence or stupidity?
Stupidity.
What? Let me go to Joe, a first-time caller out of Florida. Joe, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jesse.
Hey,
good to
Joe.
Talk to you.
You too, buddy.
So, I have a question as well, but I wanted to answer or give my answer at least to the biblical question.
Is anger a part of intelligence or stupidity?
So I believe that anger itself is stupidity. However, as far as being a part of somebody, I think it's a part of emotion. I don't think it's really a part of either. I think that a person who's emotional, you know, will allow anger in and therefore behave stupidly. That's what I think. But anyway, and I will tune in on Sunday to hear what you have to say about it. You are
right
my,
right
you're my church away from home when I'm not home, and I travel a lot for work. So
okay,
you know, I spend a lot of time with you guys, and I appreciate you.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah. So I have a question, and I guess this when you have conversations with other folks.
Come back to your phone, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. All right. You got me?
I do. Yeah.
All right. So this is kind of a branch off of just listening to your show and hearing, you know, interaction with other folks. But you ask people a lot of times, who are you?
Right.
And this is something that I ask myself. And since I don't know who I am, I don't know who I'm asking, right?
What? No.
But I know. So, you know, it's a really deep question when you ask it that way. And I'm just, you know, I want to hear your perspective on it. You know, who are you? And or if I want to know who I really am. In other words, I understand that I'm not this physical being. I understand that I'm not my thoughts. And, you know, you've helped teach me how to realize these things and be more present in life. And it has shown me that I wasn't a man yet. And I feel like I'm finally in my late 30s becoming a real man. And, I would like to keep exploring that, and I want to know who are you when you're referring to
No one. No one. I'm nobody. And when I do refer to me, it's just for communication purposes only. And so I do it in a state of consciousness, but I'm no one. There is no me.
There is no you. There is no me.
Right.
I like that. I like that. And that actually makes a lot of sense. I appreciate the clarification there.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So I, and I listened to your whole show today, so I kind of heard all your callers and stuff like that. And I think it's pretty amazing how, you know, some folks have a hard time letting go of the other person in a situation when they need to look at themselves and read into themselves, you know, work on themselves. They're always worried about whether the other person is working on themselves.
That's the ego nature. The hardest thing for human beings to do is to look at the wickedness of their own heart. Human beings want to think that they're good when they know that they're no good. And because of that, they cannot be free. They can't walk out the prison door, even though the prison door is wide open, but they can't walk out because they can't and won't admit that they're evil.
I see. Yeah, we certainly are.
Yeah. Joe, because of time, I got to run, but will you call me again?
Oh, you can count on it, buddy. I appreciate y'all very much, and thank you for your time.
You too, buddy, and thanks for responding to the biblical question.
Thank you for asking it.
All right.
Be well.
Okay. 888-775-3773. Kenny out of Alabama, sweet home Alabama. Kenny, you're on the air.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey.
Calling from Phoenix City again.
Hey, Phoenix City.
Could you ask me the question again, sir?
Is anger a part of intelligence or stupidity?
Anger is an emotion, and anytime you entertain an emotion or an intellect and you think you could understand it, that's stupidity.
Amazing. All the way from beautiful Phoenix City, Alabama.
And what I've noticed as I've worked on myself, and I want to thank you, Jesse. Y'all are awesome. What an amazing, amazing message this is.
Oh,
people
man.
Don't want advice, Jesse. They want affirmation. They want you to agree with what they want.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. What a mess, huh?
What a mess, man. And I'm living with somebody that I've learned to just let her die. Let her live in her hell. I don't let her affect me anymore because I know that's not her.
Yes.
And it's just so easy to forgive people when you look at it that way.
100%. You're welcome, man. Thanks for responding to the biblical. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday.
You the man, Zoltan.
Thank you, buddy. All the way from Phoenix City. Do y'all know I used to go to Phoenix City and work in Phoenix City? And I used to hang out on Ken Folk's Corner. What the? Rick out of Virginia. Rick, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Ken Folk's Corner will have some of the best breakfast. Hey, Rick.
What's going on, man? Good weekend, man.
Yeah.
Listened to some of the service yesterday, man. It was interesting yesterday.
And was it helpful?
You know what? It was helpful to me.
Right.
But you know how it goes, man. You know how people are, man. It's like
I'm talking about you and like you only.
Oh, me? Yes. Yes.
Right on.
It helps me out. I think you like did it help? I thought you talked about everybody, but yeah, they helped me.
No,
yeah.
You can't help everybody, no matter what you do. Most people love their misery,
right?
But I meant, was it helpful to you?
Yes, yes. I'm sorry. I misheard. I think you said, was it helpful with you? I think it was helpful to everybody.
No.
But yes, it was helpful to me.
Right on.
And the main thing we have to do is apply it.
Yes.
But you know, it's so funny just when you tell people, well, let them stay in hell. You know, people think you're being insensitive when you're saying that.
How is that?
Yeah, they think because people ain't used to hearing that. Like you tell people, well, let them suffer in this hell, or either you know, like you would say, well, let them suffer, and people are not used to hearing it like that, and people they think you're being insensitive.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean.
Because I say that, and
you say,
I say
what?
Well, that person suffer. That person has a right to be wrong.
They do.
So let them suffer. They, you know, Adrian Peterson used to say that. The preacher, he would like say, they have a right to be wrong. So yeah. When they if they want to stay and they hell, they have a right. They have a right to be wrong.
That's right. Your wife, your children, your mama, your daddy, yep. Your brother, your sister, your cousin, your niece, nephew, your so-called friends. If they want to stay, God leave them in their hell. He doesn't bother them at all. He can try to warn you sometimes, hey, you're in hell, you can come out. But if you don't want out, he's going to leave you right in your hell.
That's right. Exactly.
And he'll let you die in your hell.
But you know, people want to, they want to pull you in it, too. They want to pull you in the hell. Yeah. Okay, I don't want to suffer. You know, that's you. That's your shell. I don't want to suffer. But what do you think about those two plane crashes, though, Jeffers?
I thought it was amazing. What a mess.
Did they know what was the cause of those accidents?
I haven't heard yet.
I haven't been listening. I've been keeping up with them, but they say another one happened in Philadelphia.
Yeah, one happened in D.C. Wednesday night. One happened in Philadelphia Friday night. And then yesterday, Sunday, one caught on fire. And they have to do a quick landing.
Wow.
It's something going on, Rick. I don't know, but it ain't pretty.
Hey, is it safe to fly or you rather? But you know what's so funny, Jesse? Plane crashes happen maybe once in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
But cars, you are in an accident every 90 seconds.
I know. You ever drove
actually, you're safe with, flying.
You ever drove with the anchor, baby? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Rick. How's the job with the anchor, baby? Yes, sir.
Oh, it's like flying a plane that's going to crash in a minute now. Rick.
Wow, but let me ask, though.
Rick, I got to run. We're going to get cut off. Call me again.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Okay, love you, Jesse. Thanks for taking my call. Be good.
You're welcome, buddy. I am so out of time. The hate report now, then Joel Friday, then the American Anchor Baby, and then Punch and TV. All right. Work on yourself, folks. You got to travel this road by yourself. You can't take anyone. Sorry, those weak people who got to have a crowd. You can't stand on your own. You're not going to make it. You must be willing to stand alone. Do the silent prayer. RebuildingTheMan.com/prayer. Forgive your mama and your daddy, especially your mama. I'll be back tomorrow. The Lord is willing and the creature will rise. Greg out of New York. Another Greg. First time call out of Canada. Someone just dropped. I'm out of time. Thank you for your super chats. Bye, y'all. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy, they're miserable, they have rough lives, they're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand, I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to RebuildingTheMan.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven.
You know, I'm 32 years old now, and I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old. And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show, and I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you, and I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this, and young men need to know this message that you're delivering because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like 1,000. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man.